Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Samach Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Samach Ches. The Gemara begins with a quote from the Mishnah, Me'emosai mitamin begodim. At what point is tumas begodim, the defilement of the clothing of those involved with burning the par visor of Yom Kippur, what point does that tuma set in? Before we begin the Gemara, let's glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, introducing this sugya. Sorfim hanisrofim chutz mishalosh machnos. We will discuss the burning of those types of sacrifices that are ordained to be burnt outside of Gimel Machs, outside of Jerusalem. Machlokes tanoi mosai cholot tumas begodim. We're going to see a tanaic controversy. At what point the beged, the clothing defilement, sets in? So we turn to the Gemara. Tonu rabbanan yotzi el michutz lamachane v'sorfo. The pasuk, if you take it at face value, and we're talking here about a pasuk found in the context of Yom Kippur, the burning of the par v'soir outside the camp. Now, outside the camp appears here in the singular. It's mashma, that implies outside of one region. Now, our previous shiur, we made mention of the three camps, Machne Shechino, Machne Leviyo, and Machne Yisrael. The term Machne camps is a term that we said is most appropriate for the travels in the Midbar, the camp of the divine presence. That is defined as the area of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Midbar, that was the Mishkan and its courtyard. The Machne Leviyo is the Levite camp, and in the time of Jerusalem, that would be the Temple Mount. And then there's Machne Yisrael, that represented the encampment of the Jewish people in the desert. And in Jerusalem, its parallel is the city of Yerushalayim, outside the Temple Mount and within the outer wall of Jerusalem. So the pasuk says you shall take the par v'soyer outside the camp. It sounds like you take it outside of the Azora and v'sorfo and burn it there. That is difficult to appreciate, to understand. The Brisa goes on to explain what could be problematic. Lahalon ato noisem lahen shalosh machnos. Lahalon means over there, in other porim hanisrofen. There are other cases of sacrifices that are that their bodies, their carcasses, are to be burnt outside, and they include the par ho'edo, which is a cow brought in the event that the Sanhedrin errs in a legal ruling, and there's par kohen mashiach, that's a case where the kohen gadol issues an erroneous legal ruling, and in those korbanos, noisit lahalanata noislam shalosh machnos, they are burnt outside of the three camps. In the case of Yerushalayim, outside of Yerushalayim, v'kan ato noisin lemachna achas, and here in the case of Yom Kippur, are you saying it's enough that they're taken out, the par and sur of Yom Kippur are taken out of one camp? That can't be. And Rashi speaks about this at great length, pointing out through Psukim that these topics are compared to one another. They're hukshu lahadodi. And being that the topics are compared one to another, whatever applies to the Paro Edo and the Parkoy Mashiach, those other sacrifices that we mentioned should apply to the Yom Kippur sacrifices as well. Well, okay. In Kain Loma Ne'amar Michutz LaMachne. So what does the reference to a singular camp teach me? Answer, Lomar Loch. It tells me the following. Kevan Shiyotza Chutz LaMachne Achas Metamin Begodim. As soon as they leave one camp, then Tumas Begodim sets in. And that would be that as they are carrying out the Par Vizur of Yom Kippur, and they leave the Choymas Azora, the wall of the temple courtyard, there at that point sets in the Tumas Begodim. The Mishnah had presented to us, had presented another Shita on that matter of Tumas Begodim. It was the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and he said, Mishiyotzi Sa'ur Beruv, on this you could see at the end of the Mishnah on the previous Omid Beis, at Samach Samid Beis, at the time that the fire sets upon the carcasses or the animals, the limbs, as they are being burnt. That's quite a bit later. They've already left Jerusalem, they've reached the fireplace, the burning site, and this fire is lit. Only then does the setting, does the Tumas Begodim set in. So what does Reb Shimon do with the Michutz LaMachane reference? So you notice we have a bracketed section, and use the bracket lengthening indicator to see how far this goes. You see, after the brackets, for Rabbi Shimon, Haimichutz Lamachan Ovidlei. This is a reference, as we said, to Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, that said that the Tumas Begodim sets in only Ash Yitzhak Tzaur Berubai. What does he do with the reference to the singular camp that the Tanakhama just explained as the time for the setting in of Tumas Begodim? But Rabbi Shimon says Tumas Begodim doesn't set in at that point. So the Gemara answers there, it says, Miboyalei Lichadetanyo, he needs Michutz Lamachan for a different teaching, and that will be featured at the end of the Omid. In the meantime, we did skip a section of the Gemara, and we explained the brackets by the starred note on the side of the Gemara, where we've written Tam Hasograyim Kedei Lirois Bieser Kalus Ech Machlokes Chachomim Rabbi Shimon Es Machlokes Chachomim Rabbi Shimon Ma Kol Echodorish Ma Posuk Michutz LaMachane. We demonstrated this already. The purpose was to see to clearly focus on the machlokas between the Tanakh and Shimon, how each one darshins the posuk of Michutz LaMachane. Toch hasograyim muvo hamokur l'sholosh machlis l'srefas and nisrofim. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara then gives us the source for the three machna location, the outside of three machnos, for the burning of those sacrifices that we refer to as the nisrofin. So now the bracketed section, the hosom minolon, and there, as we said before, the parho edo and the parkoin moshiach, there we said with certainty that they are burnt outside of three machnos. So how do you know that? The sanya, we have a Tanaic source. In this source, we're going to be highlighting with a double underlining the expression Keshu Omer, which introduces what appears to be extraneous or superfluous psukim that eventually will lead us to the three machna idea. So the source begins, V'hoitzi es kol ha'par. This is a posuk by the par Kohen Moshiach, the sacrifice brought on the occasion that the Kohen Gadol issues an erroneous legal ruling. And it says, it shall be taken out. It shall be taken out to be burnt. And we say, chutz l'sholosh machnos, taken out of three camps, means outside of Yerushalayim. If, of course, you were talking about an earlier period of time, like the travels in the desert, outside of Machne Yisrael. Are you telling me outside of three camps, or maybe, as the Pasuk seems to say, out of one camp? So, this is a Pasuk in Vayikra Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chof Aleph, in the context of another sacrifice, the Par Ha'edo, that's the, also known as the Par Helem Dovah Shel Tzibur, a special offering brought in the on the event that the High Court, the Sanhedrin, errs in a legal ruling. The animal that's brought as a sacrifice to atone for that error is taken out of the machne, but it doesn't have to be spelled out. She'ein tamid lomar, it doesn't have to tell me el michus lamachshare kfar ne'amar, because there's another pasuk that says v'soraf oisoi kasher soraf es hapar horishon. I'm told already regarding the par ho'eda that it is to be taken out to be burnt. So why does it have to say again el michutz lamachne? Uma tamud lomar el michutz lamachne. So what do I do with this pasuk? Vitein lo machne shnia. It serves to add a camp, add another region out of which it must be taken. Kshomer michutz lamachne b'deshen. This is a different pasuk. Vayikra perik vav pasuk dalid. It says regarding the deshen. The deshen is a reference to the ash from the mizbeach. When the mizbeach ash is cleared away, it's taken to a point outside. It says michutz lamachne she'ein talmud lomar. It doesn't have to tell me there that it's taken outside the camp. Shekvar ne'amar el shefech hadeshen. You have another pasuk that indicates that. The Rashi that you'll find on the sixth line under the Gemara text, Michutz Lamachne B'deshen, Votzas Deshen HaMizbeach, with regard to the carrying out of the ash from the Mizbeach, it says, Vahoitzis HaDeshen El Michutz Lamachne, Perek, it's in Vayikra, Perek Vov Pasuk Dalet, She'ein Talmud Lomar, I don't need that to teach me. Eino melame klum. That doesn't tell me anything. Dano yodano. Del michutz lamachne motzino so. I know anyway from another source that the ash is taken outside of the camp. Dichtiv bepora manisrofim. In Vayikra perek dalit posuk yud beis, it says regarding the burning of the cows, they are taken el shefech hadeshen. So I know the deshen is where the cows are burnt. Uksiv bu, and where the cows are burnt, it says michutz lamachne. So I know that the deshen is michutz lamachne. Why then do I have this posuk of michutz lamachne, Vayikra perek vav posuk dalid, when the basic information would have been known from Vayikra perek dalid posuk yud beis? Tein loy machne shlishis. It's an extra machne reference to tell me that the burning of these sacrifices, the par koin moshiach, the par edol, and eventually we know also about the par yom kippurim and the sur yom kippurim, are burnt outside of three camps. So by adding up these extra references to michutz lamachne, we get to this conclusion. Rabbi Shimon, hi michutz lamachne, my ovidle. Rabbi Shimon, who said that tumas begodim sets in mishyutzas ha'ur beruboy, when the majority of the limbs are taken over by the fire, while they're being burnt, only then does tumas begodim set in. What does he do with the michutz lamachne posuk that the Tanakamo had used for saying tumas begodim sets in as soon as they leave the azora? So the Gemara answers, Miboy Alei, Rabbi Shimon needs Michutz Lamachane, Lichid Isanya, for the following teaching. And on the side of the Gemara, we introduce this with a topic heading, Hechon Sorfin Aporo Adumo. Where is the Pora Adumo burnt? Now the Pora Adumo, truth be told, was not a real sacrifice. It's the red heifer whose carcass was burnt for the purpose of producing ash, which would eventually be mixed with water. And that ash water mixture was sprinkled on people who had experienced defilement to the dead. So I need this michutz lamachne for the following source. Rabbi Lozer Omer, Ne'mar kan, it says by Yom Kippur michutz lamachne, v'ne'mar lahalon, it says by the Por Adumo michutz lamachne. Ma kan chutz l'sholosh machnos, just like in the case of the Purim HaNisrofim, they are burnt outside of three camps, as we discussed earlier. Aflalon chutz l'gimel machnos. So to the Pora Duma, it is likewise burnt outside of three camps. It's burnt outside of Jerusalem. Uma lahalon b'mizrocha shushalayim, and just like there by the Pora Duma, it was burnt to the east of Jerusalem. Afkan b'mizrocha shel Yerushalayim. So too, with regarding the other Nisrofin, they are burnt to the east of Yerushalayim. Rashi points out the source for the burning of the Por Aduma east of Yerushalayim. If we look in the Rashi, five lines from the bottom, Mala Alon B'Por Aduma Mizrach Yerushalayim, the red heifer is burnt to the east of Jerusalem, Dichtiv Bo El Neuchach Penei Oel Moed. It's facing, the burning is facing the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, Al Mo'imid B'Mizrach. Therefore, it shows you that the burning is to the east of the Beis HaMikdash, Uponov L'Marov, and he's facing westward. Keneged Pischos Shel Hechashu B'Koysel Mizrachi U'Pasuch L'Mizrach. And he's facing the eastern side of the Beis HaMikdash, where the entrance was located. So too, we say, by the other Nisrofim, B'Mizracha Shel Yerushalayim. The Gemara continues at the bottom line, V'Rabbonon Hecha Soref Lehu. The Rabbonon that use this Pasuk Michutz Lamachne by Yom Kippur for teaching me about Tumas Begodim, where, according to the Rabbonon, is the burning to take place? Kidisanya. So the Gemara answers, Hechon Nisrafin, where are the Korbonos that we call the Nisrafin, where are they burnt? So the Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis, Letzfoino Shel Yerushalayim V'chutz L'Sholosh Machnos. They're burnt north of Jerusalem, outside of three camps. And Rashi points out the concept of north as associated with these sacrifices. These all happen to be sin offerings. The Par Halom Dovar Shel Tzibor, the Par Koy Mashiach, the Par Emen the Par Ansari of Yom Kippur, all Chatos offerings. And a Chatos was processed in the Beis HaMikdash, for example, in the northern part of the Azorah. So the concept of north is inherent to the processing of a Korban Chatos, to the extent that even the burning of the bodies, of the limbs, are done to the north of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Abes Hadeshen Nisrofen. Now this is very vague. What does Rabbi Yossi come to do? So Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi wants the site where the animals are burnt to, prior to their being burnt there, there is ash from the Mizbeach that is located there. Rashi explains this at the top line, Abesa Deshen, Tzorach Shiyaktim L'Shom Deshen HaMizbeach, Shiyei Nikra Kodem Lochein Mokom Shefech HaDeshen. In order to fulfill that which it says in the Pasuk, one needs to bring ash of the Mizbeach, from the ash of the altar, to that site beforehand. This Pasuk Shefech HaDeshen is in Vayikra Perek Dalid Pasuk Yud Beis, a Pasuk that is in the context of the Nisrofen. So Rabbi Yossi says that the location where the Nisrofen, where these animals that are burnt, where the burning takes place, there must be Mizbeach ash there beforehand. The Rashi continues to say, Mechlal de la Tanakama lo tzorach. Apparently the Tanakama, who disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, and says that is not a requirement. We continue in the Gemara, where diamonds appear around Abaye, around Rava and later Abaye, on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivneh heading. We have explained that the diamonds highlighted Machlokis Rav and Abaye, Behavonas Machlokis Hatanayim, Rabbi Yossi, Verblozer Ben Yankiv, Bepirush HaPosuk El Shefech HaDeshen Yisarev. So we're going to cite this Posuk, El Shefech HaDeshen Yisarev, and see a Machlokis Tanayim and how to understand that. Omar Rava, Man Tano de Polig Ole de Rabbi Yossi. Who is the Tano that appears before Rabbi Yossi, would disagree with what Rabbi Yossi said? Answer, Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv, who it is, Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv, Tesanyo, and this will become clear as we go on. The Pasuk says, Al Shefech HaDeshen Yisarev, Shiei L'Shom Deshen. That is what we saw before in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Here his name doesn't appear, but it's saying that there should be over there, where the Purim and Nisrofim are burnt, there should be altar ash beforehand. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Shei Makomo Meshupach. Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees. He says that pasuk teaches me that it shall be a sloping, a Mokom Midron, a sloping area. Meshupach, sloping. Omer Le Abaye. Abaye addresses Rav and says, V'dilma v'mekoyme meshupach hu depligi. Maybe their whole machlokis is only regarding the matter of it being a sloping area. Is that necessary? But they would agree, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov and Rav Yossi and his Tanakhama would agree that there has to be ash beforehand. And this you can see in the Rashi, V'dilma v'mekoyme meshupach hu depligi u'moyde Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov will concede shiyaktim shom deshen, that there should be ash beforehand. Elo deboi nami mekomo meshupach. All that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is insisting upon is that it also shall be a sloping area, so that Rabbi Yossi would be holding that it doesn't need to be sloping, but there is an ash necessity beforehand. And Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying, in addition to the ash necessity beforehand, it also has to be a sloping area. Tonu Rabbanon. We continue, and before we continue in the text, we glance at the side where we have a no say, a topic heading, Mi Shayech Betumas Begodim Besreifas Achatois. Who is subject to Tumas Begodim when it comes to the burning of these Nisrofim type sacrifices? The list including the Par Koy Mashiach and the Par Ho'eda, the par, which we know as the Par Elm Dovah Shetzibon, the Par and Sor of Yom Kippur. Tonu Rabbanan. V'hasoreif. This is from Vayikra, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Chof Ches, which is a Pasuk in the context of Yom Kippur. Hasoreif mitame begodim, v'lo hamatzis esaur, the one who burns the animals themselves, he is subject to Tumas begodim. The ones who are involved with the actual burning, and there's a list of people that are not included in Tumas Begodim. Rashi points out something very nice, to know, that this Tana holds like Rabbi Shimon, that we saw in the Mishnah, that there's no Tumas Begodim until the burning sets in. So we continue in this source. Who is not included in Tumas Begodim? V'lo hamatzis esaur, not the one who lights the fire. V'lo hamesader es hamarocha, nor the one who sets up the logs forming the fireplace. V'ei zehu hasoreif, who is the soreif that was referred to two lines ago? Zeh hamesayeya b'sh'as sreifa, anyone who is assisting in the burning at the time that the limbs are burning. Yochol af mishinase efer metamin begodim? Are we to suggest that even once the limbs turn to ash, there is tumas begodim? Tamud lomar oisam. Oisam metam begodim velo mishinasu efer metamin begodim. Oisam means the animals are going to generate tumas begodim, not the ash. Ash, in other words, the ash is not considered them. The word oisam means them, the animals. The animals, yes, not ash. Ash will not generate. In other words, if the animal limbs have turned to ash and you're still poking around in the fireplace, you will not be subject to Tumas Begodim. Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon Omer ha-par mitame. The par is mitame, something that you would call a cow. Is nita ha-boser eino mitame begodim. But once the flesh, as a result of the burning, becomes hardened, becomes coal-like. Now, this is a stage earlier than ash, but at that point, nitach habosar, when the bosar becomes hardened, there is no longer tumas begodim. So, iko binai, my binai, what is the difference between nitach habosar and I mean shasu efer? So, iko binai, deshavyo charucha. Rashi says, the shavi charucha davi nita chavos. Shavi charucha, it's become scorched, means the flesh has become hardened. The efer miulo have. However, it's not ash yet. Latanakamu metamen adshe yasu efer. That is a stage that still will generate tumas begadim. The osam karino bay. The term osam is still applicable. And Rashi, actually on the side of the Gemara, we quote the pasuk vasoref osam yichabes v'rachatzes besora b'mayim v'achrichen yovel amachane. So the term osam is applicable though to the limbs. While they are in this state of charucha or nita chabosar, the Rebbe Shimon shavich charucha lo mitame. According to the Rebbe Shimon, once it reaches that stage, it no longer will be mitame. There is no longer tumas begadim. The lo par mikri. It's not called par. It's not the term par, which is the animal that we've learned. The animal generates the tuma, not something that you would no longer refer to it as the par, the cow. So in terms of levels of leniency, Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon is more lenient in so far as saying that Tumas Begadim is no longer going to be generated at an earlier point in time. Whereas according to the Tanakhama, Tumas Begadim still presents itself as an issue till it becomes ash. We continue with the Mishnah, but before doing so, we look at the side. We have a Nosea topic heading. Ech Kohen Gadol Mamshich Bavodas Hayom Ad Shamishtalech Magia L'Ktzei Hamidbar. While the scapegoat is carrying the sins till the desert, what is taking place with the Kohen Gadol back in the Beis Hamikdash? Omru lo l'kohen gadol. They told him. They informed the kohen gadol higia so'ir lamidbar. The goat has arrived at the desert. U'minayin hoyu yoydin shekia so'ir lamidbar. How would they know that? So the answer is dir kois hoyu oisin umanifin besutrin v'yoydin shekia so'ir lamidbar. Dir kois that the Mishnah refers to are observers or guards that were located en route from Yerushalayim till the cliff. So the Mishnah says that there were these guards or watchmen, scouts that were positioned along the route, and they would menifin besutrin, they would wave cloths. In other words, when the goat arrived at its destination, so the ones who saw that would wave a cloth, and the ones in closer to the direction of Jerusalem would see that and wave their cloth, and creating a sort of a type of chain effect, where the information would be conveyed quite quickly from the destination site back to the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. If one studies the Rashi carefully and also notices the Tosfos Yeshanim, it appears that the Tanakhama is of the opinion that the completion of the mitzvah of the Sawyer is as far as this point is concerned. In other words, we should maybe preface and point out that the Kohen Gadol cannot start the next Avodah until the Sawyer gets to its destination. The question here is, what is its destination that enables the Kohen Gadol to proceed with the next stage of activity? So the Tanakhama will tell you the Ish Iti accompanying the Sawyer has to get to the cliff. According to Rabbi Yehuda, with whom we continue in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Valo Simin Gadol Hoyolahem. There was a more noticeable sign which would enable the Kohen Gadol to know to continue. Rabbi Yehuda holding, before we continue reading the Mishnah, that as soon as the Ish Iti gets to the edge of the desert, in other words, the side of the desert closest to Yerushalayim, at that point, the Kohen Gadol could then continue the Avodas Hayom, the activities of Yom Kippur. So, what was the sign? Yerushalayim v'ad beis chidudo shlosho milin. from Jerusalem till Beis Chidudo, which Rashi explains is the beginning of the desert. There was a distance of 3 mil. Hoychin mil, there were those that accompanied the Ish Iti 1 mil, 2,000 amas outside of Yerushalayim toward the desert. The Choizrin mil, and then they would return a mil, so that accounts for 2 mil lengths of time. Veshoyin kedei mil, and then delay the amount of time it takes to walk a mil, so that will account for 3 mil of time, which indicates that the Ishiti arrived at the edge of the desert, the time at which the Kohen Gadol can now proceed with the next avoda. The Yoidin Shigiasur Lamidbar, with that approach, the people who had accompanied the Kohen 1 mil out and their return, plus a delay of 1 more mil of time, that would indicate that the Ishiti arrived at the edge of the Midbar. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Valo Simen Acher Hoyolahem. Rabbi Shmuel says there was another sign. Loshon Shel Zahoros HaYokosho Pislo Shel Hechal. There was a strip of crimson wool tied to the entrance of the Hechal, of the Beis HaMikdash. Ukshigia Soyer LaMidbar, when the Soyer arrived at the desert, Hoya HaLoshon Malbin, the crimson wool would turn white. Shenemar Imyu Chatoerichem Kashonim Kasheleg Yalbinu. If your sins are like red is associated with tumah, so Kasheleg Yalbinu, they will turn white like snow. Omar Abaye, Shma Mino. Abaye concludes, Beis Chidudo Bamidbor Kaimo, that the location that we refer to as Beis Chidudo is in the desert. Veho Komash Molon, and this teaches us the Kosova Rabbi Huda, who mentioned Beis Chidudo, holds Kevon Shigia Soyer Lemidbar Nasis Mitzvaso. As soon as the goat gets to the beginning of the desert, then the mitzvah has been completed. Now, when we speak about the completion of the mitzvah, it means the completion of that which is required until the Kohen Gadol can now proceed onwards. And the next Mishnah, which is at the beginning of the new Perek, it features the next stage, namely that the Kohen Gadol starts reading a section from the Torah. So, as we continue now with the new Perek and the new Mishnah, Bo Lo Kohen Gadol Likros. Im Rotzel Likros Bebig De Butz Kore. The Kohen is going to read the Parsha that we will feature later, what that is. So, if he wants to read in while still wearing the white linen clothing that he was wearing till now, he can do so, the Imlav, and if he should choose otherwise, Kore Bitzlis Lovan Michel, he can read in an Itzlis is a type of a garment that's white that he owns, that is his. Chazan HaKnesses Noto Sefer Torah V'Noso L'Rosh HaKnesses. Now we're going to have a chain of officials and the role of each one of these officials. So Rashi describes some of them. So the Rosh HaKnesses would take a Sefer Torah. We should say the Chazan, who is a shamash. He's maybe we could call him the sexton of the Beis HaMikdash. He would take a Sefer Torah and give it to the Rosh HaKnesses. Rosh HaKnesses was a person who issued instructions regarding different things that were done in the Beis HaMikdash. So you can see a hierarchy of individuals. Chazan giving it to the Rosh HaKnesses. Rosh HaKnesses knows no Lasgan. He would then give it to the Skan, who is a type of, assistant to the Kohen Gadol, or a person who stood in the balance. If anything should happen to the Kohen Gadol, he would take over. Vaskan noisnoi le Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol omeid Umekabel v'kore, he would stand and receive the Torah, and he would read Achrei Mos v'ach be'osur. Achrei Mos is the parsha in the Torah dealing with the Yom Kippur service, and the parsha in Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Emor, which features sacrifices, in this case the Yom Kippur sacrifices. V'goleil Sefer Torah u'manichoi b'cheko, he would then roll closed the Sefer Torah and continue holding it, the Omer, and he would announce, Yosima shikorosi lefneichem kosafan, more than I have read from the text is written in this scroll. There is more written than I have read thus far. And he would then continue reciting psukim orally without the Torah scroll open. Be'osar is a reference to the 10th of Tishrei, and he would read from Parshas Pinchas, which is toward the end of Sefer Bamidbar. He would read that al peh. He wouldn't roll the Sefer Torah till that point, but rather read the sections from Sefer Vayikra from the open scroll, rolled it closed, and then orally recited the psukim referring to the korbanos of Yom Kippur in Sefer Bamidbar. Umevorech olei shmoyne brachos, and there were 8 brachos that were recited. The Mishnah lists them off, and Rashi fills in a little more as far as the text of the brachos, and you can look in the Rashi for that. What were the 8 brachas? Al ha-Torah, v'al ha-Avodah, v'al ha-Idah. The bracha of the Torah is familiar to us, Asher Nosan Lanu Toras Emes, the bracha that one says at the end of Torah, of reading from the Torah. Al ha-Avodah is familiar to us in the form of Ritzei, that we say in the Shemona Esrei, Ritzei Ba'amcha Yisrael. That's a bracha where we appeal to Hashem to accept our service, the Beis Hamikdash service, and the Al Hoidah, a bracha that we associate with Moedim Anachnu Loch, that after you recite the bracha regarding the service, you are to acknowledge and thank the Almighty for accepting our service. The Al Mechila Sa'avon, Rashi gives the text of that bracha, which might be familiar to many of us from that which we say in the Shemona Esrei of Yom Kippur, Mechol of Nesin of Yom Kippur Amzeh. Rashi continues with the balance of the with some of the balance of the text. That the next V'al HaMikdash B'fnei Atzmo, and a bracha regarding the Beis HaMikdash, and V'al Yisrael B'fnei Atzmon, V'al Yushalayim B'fnei Atzmo, V'al HaKoyanim B'fnei Atzmon. That would account for 8 brachos, v'al shar hatfilah, and Rashi, the Gemara will explain what that is a reference to. Haroya kohen gadol shukorei einu roya parvisar nisrafim. One who is present while the kohen gadol is reading this section will not see the burning of the par and soir that we featured in our previous in the previous section of Gemara, where we were dealing with the burning of the of those animals. Varoya parvisar nisrafin, one who would see their burning, and we don't forget we mentioned that they were burnt outside of 3 camps. They were burnt outside of Yerushalayim. One, we had a machlokas tanoim, was it to the east of Jerusalem, was it to the north of Yerushalayim, but it was outside of Yerushalayim. So one who saw their burning, which was taking place now, he wouldn't see the Kohen Gadol. He wouldn't be present when the Kohen Gadol was reading the Parsha. V'lo m'vnei sheino rashoi. It's not because there's some type of prohibition. Rather, there was a distance between the site of the burning and the Beis HaMikdash. And the two things were taking place at the same time. You couldn't be at 2 places at the same time. So if you were watching the burning of the par and soyer on limbs, you could not have been in the Beis HaMikdash listening to the Kohen Gadol read the Parsha. From the fact that the Mishnah made reference to the option of the Kohen Gadol reading while wearing a white cloak of his own, mechlal de krio lav avoda. He must be that the reading is not classified as a formal Beis HaMikdash activity. Because if it were an avoda, avoda must be done while wearing specific Kohen garments. For a Kohen Gadol, it would be his 8 golden garments, and if it's a Yom Kippur type activity, the 4 linen garments, but nothing else. And here we have an option given for him wearing something else for the Kriyas HaParsha, indicating that it is not an avoda. Vikotani, it says, Im rotza likros bebigdei butz kari. And at the same time, he says, well, if he wants to read while wearing the linen formal Kohen Gadol, white Kohen clothing, he can do that. So here you have an example of a non-avoda, and at the same time he is wearing the big day kahuna. Can we use this information to conclude Shamis Mino? Can we conclude from here big day kuna nitnu lehonos bahen, that the Kohen clothing are available for receiving personal benefit from them? And when we say personal benefit, what we mean to say is, it can we conclude from here that he is allowed to wear Kohen clothing even at times other than Avoda times? The triangle that you see here is featured on the side under our Nosei Mivne heading, Hayim Big Dekuna Nitnu Lehonos Bahen. And we're going to be involved with this discussion until Samach Tes Omid Aleph, at the end of Samach Tes Aleph. So this will preoccupy us. The bow tie is used here. Mekoros kidei lifshot shelos. These are sources that will be introduced in an attempt to conclude this issue of big dekuna nitna lehenes ben, yes or no. We'll also see diamonds that represent diukim inferences mitoch hamoker from the sources that will be featured lenasos lehoichiach shemuter lehenes behem. Through these inferences, we're going to try to conclude that there is an allowance to benefit from them even during non-avoda activity. So now the Gemara continues with this question. Can we conclude from the fact that the Mishnah provides an option for his wearing the big day boots, the linen Kohen clothing, while reading the Parsha, which is not an avoda? That would then enable us to conclude big day kuna nitnu lehenes behen. The Gemara says no. Dilma shiny kriya. Kriya is different. Kriya cannot serve as a representation of non avoda. The tzorech avoda he. It's part. It's necessary for the avoda. It's subsidiary to the avoda. So in that context, it's not representative of other activities that are totally non-avoda related. The Abaya Lon, the question had been raised, Big Dekuna Nitnu Les Bahen, Oy Loi Nitnu Lehanes Bahen. The Big Dekuna, are they available for non-avoda benefit or not? Ta Shma, we present a source, Lohoyu Yeshenim Bebigde Kodesh. The Tanaic source from Maseches Tomit says they would not sleep while wearing their big day kahuna. Shino hudalo, sleeping no, because there's the fear that when one is sleeping, so he doesn't have full control over his bodily functions, he might pass wind, and that is denigrating to the big day kahuna. But because Shina has this denigrating aspect to it, that they would not be allowed to do. Ha mechal achli. But, for example, to eat while wearing the big day kahuna, that would be okay. That's what one can infer. So if that be the case, we would then conclude that nitnu lehanespen, you can benefit while from the big day kahuna, even during non-avoda. The Gemara says, eating is really not an example of non-avoda. Dilma shani achila. Achila that you just concluded is maybe different. It's not representative. Tzorach avodahi, eating, and specifically the eating of sacrifices, is actually part of the avoda. It's related. It's tzorach avoda. It's related to avoda. Ke desanya, as is taught in the following source, the ichlu oisam asher kupar bohem. Malame, this pasuk tells me, Sha'akonim oichlim, the ubailim miskaprin. Through the eating of, on the part of the kohanim, the eating of the sacrifices, the owners, the ones who brought those sacrifices, are atoned for. So, since atonement, which is an important, it's the goal of bringing many sacrifices, since atonement is achieved only through the eating, so the eating is said to be tzorech avoda, related to the sacrificial activity. We continue again with a diuk. Shina hudolo, okay, we said before sleeping, no. Ha hiluchi mahalchi, but to stroll around, to walk around, wearing the big tekuna, that would be okay. The Gemara says, no, bedinu deluchi nami lo. Technically speaking, walking around, strolling around with the Bigdei Kahuna also would not be allowed. In other words, not just sleeping is prohibited, but even walking around would be prohibited. So the question then is, why is sleeping featured? The Seifa, it's the Richolei, it's the continuation that is sleeping related that needs to be taught, where it says, Poishtin u'mekaplin u'manichin tachas roshayim. The Kohanim, when sleep time came, they would remove their big dekuna, fold them up, and place them tachas roshem. The word tachas roshem we're going to discuss a little bit later, but literally means under their heads. And Rashi points out that since they're not actually wearing them, so even if they pass wind at that point, that they're folded up under their heads, that wouldn't bother us. The continuation of the Gemara is going to and try to conclude from this point that manich and tachas roshehen, they can be using it as a pillow. So then that would be a sign that big dekuna one can benefit from them. And that, as we said, will lead us into the next discussion. But being that we are in the context of a dafyomi shiur, this is a reasonable pausing point. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.